ship. I'm glad the ship will come my way. You see, that it makes a different story to you when you think about the ship didn't have to come your way. But I'm glad my ship came my way. And I'm glad my captain was on board. And he knew which way the ship was going. There's been times I didn't know what was the front of the ship or the back of the ship. I didn't even know if I was on the side of the ship. But let me tell you what, I knew my captain knew about the ship. And let me tell you what, this ship we're on is not going down. The waves may be beating into the ship. And the ship may not look as pretty as some make it out to be. But let me tell you what, that ship's coming out of here one day and it's going up. And it's going to meet the Lord in the air. And I'm glad I'll be on that ship because of a man named Jesus Christ who died for my sins, washed me in His blood, part of the redeemed, the church, the called out ones tonight. I'm glad He saved me. I'm glad I'm in a Holy Ghost church tonight. I didn't know God gave me a message. It's not a run-shout message, I can tell you that. He spoke to my heart on some things that I need to look into in my own life tonight. And it's always good when the Holy Ghost gives you a message. It's even better when He confirms it in the prayer room. Because I didn't know what to preach on, and Brother Mike got up and began to speak, and he began to speak about our country and the shape we're in. The message I want to preach tonight is a nation under attack. A nation under attack. And I want to go, if you have your Bible tonight, be finding the book of Isaiah, chapter number 59. The book of Isaiah, chapter 59. While you're turning there, I'll give you some little nuggets about Isaiah that I didn't know much about. And I began to read after a man that was much smarter than I was. And this is what he said. He said, the book of Isaiah is very unique. In the book of Isaiah, you'll find 66 chapters. Just like our Bible has 66 books. He said the first 39, just like the Old Testament, taught Isaiah about the Assyrian era. And then he said the last 27 were about the Babylonian era. And Isaiah was preaching to a country. And as we began to read these verses will bring a country to your mind. This country that we'll talk about is a country I live in. And I want to say this before I get started, that this is the best country that I know of. It's just by the grace of God that I was born in the United States of America, down in Alabama, down in the Bible Belt, down where there's church on every corner. God knew that there may be a little boy that may be hard-headed, that may be sin-drawn, had a bunch of sin about me. Everything about me was going toward hell, but God of heaven will come thy way in an old gospel ship and say, I'll take you. I want to talk about a nation under attack. I began to read in the book of Isaiah here in chapter 59, and I ran through it very quickly. I want to read two verses, and I want to get into my message tonight. And this is the two verses you'll know, and then I'll rewind it a little bit and go back and kind of touch base with it a little bit. The first verse I want to read is number one. Sounds pretty good. It says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. Thank God we got a God that can reach down and save anybody from anything, no matter how long they've been doing it. And I'm glad I got a God tonight that's able to hear when I call. Look at this verse. Look over in verse number 19. It says, so they shall fear the name of the Lord from the west and His glory from the rising of the sun when the enemy shall come in like a flood. The Spirit of the Lord shall lift him up a standard against him. And I looked at those two verses, and most of the time when I read this chapter, I fly through it, and I get verse number 1, and I get verse number 19, and I forget about all that stuff in between. Isaiah found himself in a situation in the Babylonian era that he found himself in a situation just like America is today. I'm glad Isaiah left him with some Word of God. I'm glad tonight I have the Word of God. I'm not searching for it. I'm not looking for a new book. I'm not backing up on it. I'm glad I have a King James Bible tonight. A nation under attack. You see, in America, the lights are beginning to dim out. And day by day, it's beginning to get darker, darker, and darker. Why? When the enemy shall come in like a flood, we are a nation under attack. We have a term that we use at work, and I believe it fits in a lot of places, and it's something I can understand. You see, we said this, we said the ship never sinks from water on the outside of the boat. It always sinks from water on the inside of the boat. What do you mean by that? America, if the devil could capture America, he would have already done it. If the devil wanted to take this church, he could have already done it. There's only one thing against it. There's the Lord. You know what can destroy America? Is America itself. You know what can destroy a church? It's not the devil himself. The devil uses instruments. But let me tell you what will destroy the church. It'll be the people on the inside of the church that will destroy it. America is under attack because of the people inside of America. We're not so much under attack from China. We're not so much of attack from Mexico or Canada or Great Britain or all these other countries that we see across the face of this earth. We're under attack by an enemy. And we're a nation under attack. One by one, those lights that was once shining are beginning to grow darker and dimmer until they're going out. Why? You have to read the whole chapter to get that. A lot of times when I read this, I've said, I skip right on through it. I'll get verse number one, the Lord's hand's not shortened that it cannot save, His ear not too heavy that it cannot hear. And I love that verse. Because I'm glad I got a God that hears me when I pray. And I'm glad when I get down on my knees, I have a God that's and I can pray to an intercessor that makes intercession for me and for my sins through the Lord Jesus Christ. But look what He said in verse number two. There's only one problem with that. Isaiah found himself, he was telling the nation this. He said, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear you. There's a problem with that. A nation that once could get on their knees and pray to a God that would always hear has now got something in between them. They got a wall, a barrier between them and God. I found myself in that same situation before to where I thought my prayers wasn't getting above the ceiling. And when I looked at it, it was not God's fault, but it was my fault. And I had separated myself between God. You say, what does that word separate? It's like a wedge. Any of y'all ever cut some firewood? I tell you what, me and my daddy got a hold of some firewood sometime that was what we call stringy. That's the kind that you hit, and a lot of times your axe would just bounce right back off. And you know what my daddy would say? He'd say, go get that wedge. And you know what we'd do with that old wedge? We'd put it in that wood, and we'd get that thing started. And you know what that wedge would do? It would take that one piece of wood, and it would split it right in half. That's what the devil is doing to our country. That's what he's doing to our churches as well. You see, a nation divided against itself cannot stand. Let me say this. A church divided against itself cannot stand. A house divided against itself cannot stand. That's why it's important for a husband and wife to be on the same team. And I'm preaching to myself tonight. It's important because we are a nation under attack. And one by one, the lights in America are growing dim. You say, why? I've got three short things tonight. I hope you get it. I want to say, first of all, it's because the cost of a nation's sin. You see, our sins have separated us between us and our God. It's became a barrier. It's became a wedge. David said this, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Be careful with that verse. You want to be a prayer warrior? You can't hide iniquity in your heart and still get through to God. He said, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear you. Imagine Isaiah wasn't too popular with the people back in those days when he said that. Oh, they loved that verse number one, and I did too, till he got down to number two. Because it hits home to everybody. Everybody. Let me say this, there's always a high cost to low living. Sin, there'll always be a price to. Isaiah said it would cost There's a high cost of a nation's sin. You know what it was? It was separation. You say, how did they do it? Look what he said. Read on down in verse number 3. He said, your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity, your lips have spoken lies, and your tongue hath uttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for the truth, for they trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. Let me say what? There's a high cost of a nation's sin. You see, what scares me about America is this. It's not the fact that God has not blessed our country. God has abundantly blessed the country that we live in. We have the greatest highways. We have the greatest transportation system. We have the greatest cities. We have the greatest neighborhoods. But I'll tell you something, we forgot how to be good neighbors. I remember a man that moved in next to me, and I liked him. His name was Sam. It wasn't even his name. I didn't even know his name until he died. I always called him Sam. That's all I knew him by. And I remember one day I went and bought a load of bricks, concrete blocks from the hardware store there in Roanoke. I pulled my truck up. I backed that truck up right up to it, and I was unloading those blocks. I was having to step up on my truck just like this. I take a block. I stack it. I go back up on the truck, get another block, come back down and stack it. As I looked, Sam was out there cutting his grass. You know what Sam did? Sam came, he saw me do what I was doing. He said, that boy's just going up. He's going back down. You know what Sam did? He said, I saw him take his lawnmower and he did a beeline. He went straight over there. You know what he did? He helped me unstack every brick off of that truck. You say, what do you mean by that? He was being a good neighbor. You see, in America, we know how to build the greatest neighborhoods, but we've forgotten how to be a good neighbor. You see, in the parable of the Good Samaritan, Jesus said, who is my neighbor? Everybody's your neighbor. A person in need is your neighbor. There's a high cost to a nation's sin. You say, what do you mean by that? Look what he said. First, why is our nation a high cost? You'll see, first of all, there's bloody hands. You say, why? For your hands are defiled with blood. You see, in 1973, there was a court case where 9 men went into the Supreme Court with black robes on, all dressed up, and they said this, it's all right for a woman to abort her babies. There's blood on her hands. Let me tell you what it is. It's crying up from the ground, that blood is. It's on the hands of America. That Roe v. Wade changed the life of America. Now I've read the statistics. It says 4,000 babies are aborted every day. And I'm sure if Brother Wayne was here, he'd give you more statistics than I can give you. There's blood on our hands in America. We said it was all right. It was all right to abort those babies. But let me tell you what, the sins of a nation cry out to a holy God. And we're a nation under attack. You say, why are we under attack? The enemy shall come in like a flood. I noticed this in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. The old serpent, the old devil himself slid right on in there. And it said Eve was deceived. Let me tell you what, that started it off. And we have something inside us. You say, what if there wasn't no people in the world? Would there still be sin? I thought about old Cain and Abel. Here it is, just two brothers. There ain't a whole lot of people on the earth at that time. 4, maybe. Let me tell you what, he still slew his brother. Let me tell you what, sin is in our heart. Bloody hands. The cost of a sin's nation. Bloody hands. Not only that, look what he said on the second part of that verse. Your lips have spoken lies. You know what else we have? We have lying lips. Oh me. Things that I've said, things that I didn't tell the whole truth, things that we live in a day of dishonesty. We live in a day where you have to have a contract for everything because no more is a man's yea and his nay is nay. We have to have a legal contract just about to walk across the street. A nation under attack. Lying lips. People will falsify documents. People will tell things to your face. And it'd be a bold-faced lie and they never flinch in the eyes of God. Not even flinch. Lying lips. That's the day that we live in. Isaiah was talking about this 1,000 years ago, and here we are tonight with the same problem in our country that Isaiah had back in the Babylonian era, lying lips. Not only you see it's lying lips, you'll see in verse number 4 there's wicked hearts. It said, none calleth for justice, nor are any pleaded for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. You say, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll just trust my heart. That's what America's doing, is trusting their heart. Let me say this. If you're going to trust your heart, you better make sure it lines up with the Bible. I'm much like my pastor on this, and I'm glad I heard him say it time after time, and I'm a firm believer in this. He said this. Don't ask God to bless what you're doing, but get in on what God's blessing. You know what He's blessing? He's blessing old Holy Ghost church that is formed and fashioned just like this Bible said it should be. You see, we live in a day of wicked hearts. Jeremiah said this. He said, the heart is desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? There's been times in my life that I didn't even know what was down in my heart, and God revealed it to me. And I tell you what, it ain't nothing but wickedness. And those thoughts out of your heart hatch evil thoughts that go straight to your mind. If you're not careful, you'll follow your heart. And I tell you what, America is following their heart, and they're going straight off into hell because they're following their heart and not following the Bible. I'm not saying everything that comes to your heart is not biblical, because it could be. Just make sure it lines up with the Bible. Wicked heart. We live in a day of wickedness. As those men gathered here Sunday, special meaning came over my soul. Each one of those deal with that wickedness each and every day on a level that we cannot understand. Wicked hearts. We live in a day of wickedness. Our society is wanting public approval for wrong behavior. You see, we'd like to follow things and say it's right even when it's wrong. See, we're in trouble when everything's right in our own eyes. And that's where America is. See, we've got all the money that we need, even though we're in debt. See, we live in a Laodicean church age, the power of the people. We're increased with goods and have need of nothing. You see, we don't need houses. We don't need land. We don't need cities. Let me tell you what we do need. We need the God of heaven. You see, because He can straighten it up. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, then the Spirit will raise a standard against him. You see, we need God in this thing. You see, we'd like to leave Him out. You see, America's been blessed. And every nation under God's heaven that ever got blessed, let me tell you what happened. God had to send judgment on it. And that's what scares me about America tonight, is what judgment will God send upon America, because we're not down on our knees praying and seeking His face, as the Bible says. And we're not turning from our wicked ways. Wicked hearts. What judgment will God bring on America because of our wicked hearts? I speak to myself tonight. The cost of a nation's sin is wickedness. Not only that, this is what Isaiah chapter 5 verse number 20 says. It says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. You see, we've run into a problem in America. I looked this up today. I said, when did they take prayer out of public schools? As I began to research that, I found the first court case that was ever talked about prayer being taken out of public schools. It was in 1962. There was a Jewish boy, Vitaly. I don't know if that's how you pronounce his name. That's how I'm going to pronounce it, because that's all I know. He was a Jewish boy, and he didn't want to pray and get down on his knees just like the New York school board wanted him to. And they was going to pass a law in the New York Board of Regents to have prayer every day before school. You know what prayer they was going to pray? This is it. I typed it up. This is what they was going to pray, and they was going to put in their curriculum, in their student handbook, every day before we start class, this is what we're going to pray. Listen to what they had. The Board of Regents in New York, in the state of New York, it said, Almighty God, we acknowledge our dependence on Thee, and we beg Thy blessings upon us, our parents, our teachers, and our country, And it said this. The board said they was going to put it in there because of this. It would combat juvenile delinquency and to counter the spread of communism. That's where our nation is under attack. Because we've taken prayer out of public schools. And you know what we did? We pumped the police in there to police it because we took prayer out. 20 years later, we took the Ten Commandments out of the school. We took them off the courthouse walls. We're taking the things of God down. And our nation, it scares me to think what judgment God will bring because we've taken our priority off the Word of God and the things of God and we've turned our own way. The cost of a nation's sin. And see, there's a high price to not following God. It scares me. I was reading in the book of Judges the other night and I read where God would send the hornets in and make a nation flee from the children of Israel. But when they got strong, you know what He did? He left them to themselves. I'm scared tonight that America may be left to themselves if we're not careful. We need the hand of God upon this nation. The children of God will never stand any taller than they are down on their knees. You see, we're forsaking prayer. We're forsaking the things of God. We're forsaking the Bible. We've turned away from the truth. And I'll get there in a minute. But I'll tell you, there's a high price to a nation's sin. Not only that, you'll see the cost of a nation's sin, but secondly, you'll see the cause of a nation's sorrow. You see, we're living in sorrowful times, but why? Because our iniquities have separated us between us and our God, as a country as a whole. It says this in verse number 5. Look at this. I've never even seen this until I studied this out. Verse 5, it said, they hatch cockatrice eggs. And country boy terms that mean snake eggs, adder, viper. That's the East Alabama, West Georgia translation there. They've hatched cockatrice eggs and weave spider's web. He that eateth their eggs die, and he which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are the works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil and make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not. And there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. The cause of a nation's sorrow. First of all, I want to say it's because of this. And it's found in verse number 5. It says this. They hatch cockatrice's eggs. They hatch snake eggs. America is fed on a diet of deception. You see, we'd like to believe a lie before we believe the truth. I had a man come to my house the other day and he knocked on the door. I was working from home. Praise God. I can work from home. As I went to the door, I already looked out my window to see who it might be and I recognized that he was of the Kingdom Hall. I went and answered the door. He said, do you read the Bible? I said, I certainly do. He said, well, you wouldn't mind me giving you this little pamphlet. And I said, I don't need that pamphlet. He said, what kind of Bible do you use? I said, I use the King James Bible. And I said, you've asked me a question. I said, let me ask you a question. I said, when did you get saved? What do you mean by being saved? And I began to preach to him a little bit. I began to hack a little bit, I believe, because I got the whole gospel out. I said, Jesus Christ, holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made a little lower than the angels, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, buried, rose again on the third day. And I said, as a 19-year-old boy, I believed in Christ. The Holy Ghost come in front row of Faith Baptist Church in Roanoke, Alabama, and I got saved. I got born again. I got washed in the blood. And he looked at me like I was crazy. I said, have you ever been saved? And he didn't know what to say. He said, I've not been saved. He said, I believe in the Great Commission. And I said, I do too. I said, but I'm not working to be saved. I don't know if I couldn't work this thing out if I had to put in my own words. They was working works of iniquity. I said, that Great Commission's good. I said, I worked after I got saved. I didn't work to be saved. I'm eternally saved. He said, I may be working for the Lord today, but if I quit today, guess what? I'm still going to make it. And I don't plan on quitting, but I had to say something to the guy to get him to understand that he couldn't work enough to get in there. He wasn't good enough to be in there. You see, it's lies. The cause of a nation's sorrow. As I began to witness to him, what he don't know, I began to witness to him, and I knew the Holy Ghost had instructed him just like that when I said that. And I went down and I watched him leave my yard. But what he don't know is I got down on my knees and I asked the Lord of heaven to save that man. And I cried over his soul. And I prayed that the Lord would save him before it's eternally too late. I care for his soul. The curse of a nation's seed. You see, we believe doctors of philosophy, we believe dishonest politicians, we believe liberal preachers over the Word of God. I want you to look at this. A diet of deception. You see, those lies and philosophies begin to hatch out. You know what it turns into? It turns into materialism, humanism, New Ageism, and liberalism. And that's what our countries eat up with today. We eat up with seminars, liberal seminars, where people are teaching that you ought not believe that and you ought not do it that way when the Word of God says we ought to. And we just go with God because if God said it, that settled it, and we'll just follow Him because we know His way is straight. And it's not on a crooked path, as what He said in verse number 8 down here, a crooked path. The cause of a nation's sorrow. We have a diet of deception. See, America's on a snake egg diet. And the one that's hatching them out is the devil himself. You say, well, I know what I'll do. I'll step out them eggs. Guess what? He said it'd hatch out into a viper. Not only that, you'll see we're on a diet of deception. Look in verse number 5 in the second part. And it said, and they weave the spider's web. We're in a web of wickedness. A web of wickedness. How many of you have ever seen a spider? You know what that spider does? I got spiders on my porch. You know when they come out? They come out when it gets dark. I can go out there in the daytime, they won't be spider one. But you let it get night and there's webs everywhere. I don't know where they go in the daytime. They better be glad I don't see them in the daytime. Web weaves. I began to look and see what that spider does. You know what he does? He takes that web and he throws it up and he puts it there for a specific reason that an insect might fly by. You know what it'll do? It'll entrap that insect. Keep him there. You know what that spider began to do? It began to web that weave around him until he's entrapped, entangled. And the little insect that was unexpectedly flying, as happy as it could be, is now trapped and he cannot go anywhere. That's what the devil's doing to our teenagers today. That's what he's doing to the adults. That's what he's doing to marriages. That's what he's doing to churches. He's entrapping them and entangling them. And you know what he's doing? Every night he'll go out there and he'll put a little poison in them. Till he's poisoned them enough till they die. And then he'll go out there and he'll suck them to death. Suck the life right out of them. You know what the devil's doing to America tonight? He's sucking the life right out of it. In a web of wickedness. I began to read up on this a little bit. And I read after a man. He said this about pornography. And I couldn't believe it. He get some stats on pornography in America. And our teenagers and adults. Listen to this. He said every second 28,000 users are watching pornography on the internet. Every second $3,000 is being spent on pornography on the internet. 40 million American people regularly visit porn sites. And this is right here, even astounded me even more. It said one-third of porn viewers are women. 2.5 billion emails sent or received every day contain porn. America is deceived, and they're in a web of wickedness. And let me tell you what, the devil's got them up, and every day he's injecting that poison to them until he can suck the very life out of them. Drugs and alcohol. It's astounding, the stats on drugs and alcohol. It said this. It said the results revealed that 78% of U.S. teens had drank alcohol and 47% of the group said they consumed 12 or more drinks in the past year. When it came to drug use, 81% of teens said that they had the opportunity to use illicit substances, and 42.5% actually tried them. It would astound you to go to school today with your children, because America is in this web of wickedness. Drugs and alcohol are taking over in a rapid pace. And I'll give you an example in my own county. If you'd asked me 10 years ago, there wasn't but two counties in Alabama that was dry. And mine was one of them, Randolph County. I never went into a grocery store and saw beer on the shelf growing up. I never went into a gas station and saw it in my whole county. And I said, we had a vote. It's probably, I say it's 4 years ago. And I said, surely there'd be enough Christians to come out to the polls to vote that we could overturn this thing to where they wouldn't, because it wasn't the first time it'd ever been on the ballot. But let me tell you what, I was shocked to get the results. I'd even been praying that God would turn that thing around. And I know God has allowed it because I prayed against it with my whole heart. But my county that I grew up in, that I never saw any beer on the shelf, any wine, I never went into Walmart and saw it in the shelf. Soon it came to a vote, and there wasn't enough people in Randolph County to vote it down. We're living in sad times in America, a nation under attack, the cause of a nation's sorrow. It's a diet of deception. It's a web of wickedness. I want to say this is a trashing of the truth. Look what it said in verse number 12 in our text, Isaiah 59 and 12. It astounded me when I read these verses here. It says, "For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against thee. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood." And here it is. These next two verses astounded me. "And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off." Here it is. "For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yet truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey, and the Lord saw it and displeased him that there was no judgment." That's where America is tonight. Truth has fallen in the streets. Truth faileth. And I began to think about that for a little bit. You see, I hold in my hands the truth. You may not can trust what I say, but this right here, they taught us in Bible college, full of truth. It's not half truth. It is the whole truth from cover to cover. You hold in your hands the truth. The Bible reads that truth falleth and fell in the street. And I began to think about that. The cause of a nation's sorrow, the trashing of the truth. It said, "Truth faileth and has fallen in the street." It said here in verse number 14, it said, "And he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey." You know what that's saying? Let's say you may be, you was turning away from that wickedness, and they said that'd make you the bad guy for turning away from it. That's where we are in America. People that are doing right are ridiculed for doing right. Let me tell you what, people in America are doing what's right in their own eyes, and it scares me, the judgment that he's talking about here. It ought to scare us for our children. You see, there's some little ones that we have to leave to this, that went down to their classes that's counting on us. You know what I want to do? I want to leave them with a church, an environment of worship, where they can see the presence of God, the manifested presence of God. Each time they meet in this building, they see the manifested presence of God. It ought to be in each parent's heart to show that to their children. Truth had fallen in the streets, the trashing of the truth. See, when you stand for truth and against the deception of wickedness, you become the bad guys in the eyes of many. Why ain't you going my way? Why ain't you doing it like I did? You see that with your kids. Well, Daddy, they're doing it. That don't mean it's right. Let me tell you what. Every person here will stand before the judgment seat of God. Even if you're saved. If you're not saved, you'll find yourself at the great white throne judgment there to be eternally damned into the lake of fire and brimstone. But I'm talking to all you Christians in here tonight. We must stand before God. And I want to stand before Him with my head held high, saying, I left a place and I showed my son how to do this thing right because I followed your Bible. I don't want to get on the bus with my head held low. There's a trashing of the truth. You see, you'll see the cost of a nation's sin, the cause of a nation's sorrow. But I'll close with this thought right here, and I won't leave you on the edge. You'll see the cure of a nation's seed. Look what he said in verse number 16. He said, and he saw there was no man and wondered there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put the garments of vengeance for clothing, and he was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay. Fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies, to the islands he will pay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. That means it'll make the devil flee away when he sees the Spirit of the Lord. Just a little. The devil's like a roaring lion, is what the book of Peter said. He said, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. But the next verse said this, whom resist steadfast in the faith. You see, we leave that part out. You see, if you'll just resist him a little, lift up that spirit, what he's talking about here, a standard against him, he'll flee away. You see, a lot of us don't hang around. We give in to him, so we don't care. He's already got us. But if we'll just show a little bit of Jesus and a little bit of Word of God back to him, you know what he's got to do? He's got to flee. He'll take flight. Verse 21, as for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon me, my words which I have put in my mouth, in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth. Listen to this. Nor out of the mouth of thy seed. Nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed. Saith the Lord from henceforth and forever. I want to say it's a cure for our nation's seed. You see, we stand here tonight with a generation down below us that needs to hear the Word of God. The Bible said truth faileth and hath fallen in the streets. You know what I'm here to do tonight? I want to tell you a little truth about the Word of God. You know why? Because I want to bring truth from off the ground and stand it back up. The cure of a nation's seed. I want to say, first of all, it's the eternal truth. God said this, the Scriptures are eternal truth. God refers to the Bible as the Word of truth. In Ephesians 1:13 it says, in whom also ye have trusted after ye have heard the Word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. The Spirit, the Scriptures. Not only the Scriptures is referred to as truth, the Spirit is referred to as the truth. He said this in John 14:17. He said, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth in with you and shall be in you. Not only that, Jesus, the Savior, is the truth. John 14:6. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. I'm glad Jesus Christ is truth. Not only that, the church is the truth. He said this in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. The church is called the pillar and ground of truth. I'm glad we're planted tonight in the truth, in the pillar and the ground of truth in a church. A local assembly, the New Testament, a church called the called out ones. 3 John chapter 1, verse number 4, John, the Apostle John, commended his followers. He said, I have no greater joy that my children walk in truth. God has no greater joy in us that we walk in the truth. You see, you got to love the truth. You got to live the truth. You got to know the truth. You got to believe the truth. I said, you got to preach the truth. You got to teach the truth. Not only that, you got to sing the truth. It's an eternal truth. He said this in John 17:17. He says, sanctify them through thy word, through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Proverbs 23:23 says this, buy the truth and sell it not. Solomon said if you know the truth, you wouldn't want anything else. The truth is very valuable tonight. You see, the truth is what will save a young boy, a young girl, an older man, an older woman, no matter what skin color they are, the truth will still save them. Truth may be failing in the streets in America. I want to be here tonight to raise it back up by the truth. Not only is it the eternal truth, it's an eternal trust. Look what he said in verse number 1. He said, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. I'm glad tonight. He said, you just got a problem. But you can remedy that problem. You know what you got to do? Confess your sins. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not only that, I said it's an eternal trust. Look what he said in verse number 19. He said, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift him up the standard against him. I want to say this, it's an eternal trust to be saved. I'm glad tonight I'm saved. I'm glad as a 19-year-old boy, almost 20 years old, I ain't saved at a real early age, but I'm just glad I got saved, that the Lord dealt with me. He saved me. Not only did He save me, He satisfies me. You see, America is looking for every drug. They're looking for every pill. They're looking underneath every rock, every corner, everything they can get around for things that will satisfy them. That's why addictions are prevalent in our country, is because people are looking for things that satisfy them, and they'll never be satisfied until they find the true satisfier. And who is that? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll not only save you, He'll satisfy you. Not only will He satisfy you, He'll sanctify you. He'll clean you up. He won't clean you up overnight. It's a work in progress. I'm glad I'm not where I used to be, amen. I'm not where I should be, and not where I'm hopefully going to be. But I'm glad He didn't leave me alone. I'm glad He didn't leave me where I used to be. He'll sanctify you. He'll clean you up. It's a process. We shouldn't get on to a younger Christian for not doing just like we do. They may not be in the same process that we are in, or the same step in life as in Christianity that we're in. But I ain't saying you shouldn't grow up as a Christian, because you ought to be working at it day by day. It'll save you. It's eternal trust to save you, satisfy you, sanctify you. I want to say this. It'll secure you. Secure you. I'm going to say something tonight and make half of y'all nervous. You're probably thinking, well, you already said a bunch of stuff made me nervous. I want to say this, He'll secure you. I'm as saved tonight as the Lord Jesus Christ is. You see, when I got saved, the earnest of the Spirit was placed in my body. You say, who is that? That's the Spirit. I began to witness to that man. I remember telling him this, because he was asking, I said, sir, I was talking about Jesus. I said, I believe in the Trinity. I said, Jesus is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, all in one, wrapped up in one. When I got saved, the Spirit of God came into me, and He secured me. I don't have to work to get to heaven. Nothing I've done. I didn't join this church to get to heaven. I didn't get baptized to get to heaven. I hadn't done enough works. I deserve hell. I stand before you publicly and say, I deserve hell. Not just before I got saved, but after I got saved. And every day I have to ask God to forgive me of my sins. Secure me. Turn in your Bible to 1 John chapter number 5, verse number 13. I want you to find this verse in your Bible. It says this, 1 John chapter number 5, verse number 13. It'll be the last place we turn tonight. I'm talking about a cure for a nation's seed. They need to know the truth. It's an eternal truth, but it's an eternal trust. 1 John chapter number 5, verse number 13. I quoted this to that man that day. I said, these things have I written unto you, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Here it is. That you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. You see, I told that man I wasn't hoping I was going to make it. I told him I was as good as there. And he looked at me even crazier. because the Holy Ghost had done got him. That you may know that you have eternal life. Let me say this tonight. You'll know if you've got eternal life. I remember when I was lost in sin. Didn't know which way to turn. I remember my brother preaching to me. I remember a man standing at Walmart saying, if you were to die now, would you know for sure you'd go to heaven? Let me tell you what, I hadn't worried about that since I got saved. Let me tell you why. My life changed. So how do you know you got it? I wouldn't be here tonight if I didn't have it. I can tell you that. God wouldn't have called me to preach. I mean, I got some of the best friends I know in this church. People I can trust in. People I can confide in. Why? Because God put salvation in me. It's an eternal trust to save you, to sanctify you. Not only that, to secure you. You'll never have joy in your life like you should until you know that you're saved. You say, well, maybe you said something tonight and I don't know that I'm saved. You can be. Just call on Him. A nation under attack. Our kids need to know the truth. You see, we're a nation under attack because the devil has come in like a flood. We didn't know how to combat him. But let me tell you what. The Bible said the Spirit of the Lord shall raise up a standard against him, and it'll make him flee. Brother Mike.